Phil Hendry.
And welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. And when I say welcome back, I mean that literally, guys, because here at the Phil Hendry El Pacifico Communications Center and Digital Satellite Uplink, your mama.
Yeah.
That's what we're calling it now. Anyway, here from our El Pacifico studios, we just say welcome back. It may be 12 hours or 24 hours since we've been on the air with you. We say welcome back because we are here humping it. And I got to tell you, anybody listening to me, please forgive me. Those of you who have looked forward to our podcasts, our free Phil Hendry podcast, yes, they're going to continue. Yes, we are going to be, we're going to pack a bunch on to the feed, to the RSS feed this weekend. I am going to Washington, D.C. on Saturday morning to visit a friend of mine who has had, is going to have some, pretty significant surgery. I will be sending you all little gifts, Betsy Ross doll. I'm just kidding. I don't.
No, I'm going to do that.
I was going to say, is that, are you being serious or are you joking?
Of course I'm joking.
Because I think that would be a very lovely idea if you could send to, if there was some way you could send to every single person who listens to your program a gift.
Well, I found out about something. I found out from some guy. Well, I don't want to give it away, you know.
Oh, you don't want to give it away, and so you wind up not saying anything, and then you lose a good opportunity.
Yeah, you ought to say it.
Well, look, I will say this. You know, we're very, very excited around here because there's a very, very high probability now that we are going to begin to add a live performance feature to the Phil Hendry Show experience, what have you. You know. Now, to that end, Margaret, and by the way, Margaret Bray with us, Bud Dickman, Bud.
Hey.
And Robert, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
How is your aunt?
Yeah, she's doing good.
Good, good, because the last time we talked to her, she was upset, you know.
Well, you had called her up.
I know. She was watching TV?
Yeah, well, she was watching a couple shows, and we messed her up because she don't know how to use a DVR.
Why don't you use that for her? Why don't you set that for her?
I don't know how to do it.
Well, you want to learn it, man. There's no excuse, man. There's no excuse. You got to learn how to do that, you know.
Well, a lot of old people don't know.
Now, that is true, Phil. There's an awful lot of our elderly that can't do that.
Our elderly, yeah. But I'm talking to Robert here. He's a strapping young man in his 20s. Go out, set up the thing for her, you know. I mean, or find somebody in your family. What about your cousin?
My cousin's dumber than me.
You're not dumb, man. Don't, you know, you guys, this is like my mother.
Oh, here we go. You're going to tell us about your mother now. Phil, can we just, would you continue with a thought, please? Because this is something that you do on a regular basis. You know, you don't...
Would you allow me to just do what I want to do here for a second?
Yes, but you don't continue with the same thought.
I'm going to continue with the thought that I'm continuing with. My mother...
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Margaret, don't start pissing me off this early, okay?
I'm not pissing you off, but you were talking about a live performance.
Yeah, we don't know about that.
All right, fine. God.
Is that so much to get angry about?
No, it's not. I just, you know, I like to free flow it here, you know. I want to go with the flow.
Yeah, I thought that was a good idea.
Well, you want to go with the flow.
I do. I just kind of want to go with the thoughts.
Yeah, man. Just go. Yeah, man. Just get down to it, man.
Yeah, man. Okay, man. Go ahead. Well, go ahead.
All right, I will conclude the thought about the, boy, I'll tell you what, you know, I found myself turning my ring around on my finger.
And what does that mean?
I think you know.
Yeah, you gotta turn your ring around your finger, why?
I think you know.
That's so you won't do so much damage when you throw the punch.
That is absolutely a terrorist threat. That is like a terrorist threat.
No, it's not. I didn't do it. I just, when you guys were butting in, I remembered last night when I started to lose my mind and I started to turn my ring around on my finger, as one might do when you wanted to throw a punch. Of course,
Yeah, that's real good, Mr. Ingram. There's young people who will listen.
That's exactly my point, bud. You have young listeners as well, Phil, and they just heard you say, turn your ring around on your finger so you don't damage it before you throw a punch. That is absolute hooliganism at its very finest. And I say that sarcastically.
She made a good point, Phil.
Don't give me the look, Phil. That is hooliganism at its finest. Hooliganism at its very tip top, at its, what is the French?
Yeah, it's like, it's...
Hold on, bud. Hooliganism at its piece de resistance, you know?
Margaret, be quiet.
All right.
So, in any event, the live performance thing has built into it a product that will be, you know, everybody will have access to it, and it will be something that interfaces what we do here on the air and the live performance. I'm not going to say any more about it.
No, I understand.
Well, great, you understand something.
Well, don't be sarcastic, Mr. Hendrick.
No, that's what he does, bud. He's... Go ahead, be sarcastic.
Well, no, I'm not being sarcastic. You actually understand something. I made myself clear. Oh, great day in the morning.
Are you having fun?
Great day in the morning. Robert, she understood me.
Way to go, Mr. Hendrick. You finally said something and made yourself clear.
That's right. That's right. Me, Phil Hendry, just a swinging baboon from a tree to your Helen of Troy, and
that is so. You know, you're not very attractive when you are sarcastic.
Oh well, excuse me, I didn't mean to be sarcastic. I was just exultating. Isn't that a word? Or wait, what's the French? Exultating? Or
you know what? I'm going. I've got to change a tampon.
Yeah, there she goes. She has to change a tampon. Everyone.
Why don't you have a little class?
Well, I'm sorry, Margaret. I thought that's what you said. You needed to change a tampon.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Oh, well, I thought you wanted everyone to know about that.
I was telling you. Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. I was telling you.
Oh, you're whispering. Oh, you're whispering. You don't want me to say anything. I see. Margaret, I won't say that you're changing a tampon.
You know something, Mr. Hendry? I'm going to say this to you.
Yes, yes, Margaret. Anything.
I hope
that I go to hell, that I burn in hell, that I roast in hell, that I use back entrance only to hell, that I take the shuttle to hell, that I take the fast train to hell, that I take the freeway to hell, that I fly to hell, that I swim to hell. I know. How about if I ice skate to hell?
Drop dead.
Oh, drop dead. That's a new one. Drop dead. Well, you know, I got to drop it. Margaret.
Go straight to the devil.
Oh, just go straight to the devil. It used to be I had to take a car or a shuttle or a plane or a van.
You really pissed her off. Isn't that right?
Oh, I'm so sorry, bud, that I pissed off your girlfriend.
My girlfriend? Ha 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 ha. That's a laugh. I'm just saying you should be more respectful.
Well, man, why don't you quit sucking up?
I ain't sucking up. You're sucking up.
No, I'm not. I'm sitting here just listening to all this stupid stuff.
No, bud, really, seriously. I didn't mean to make your girlfriend mad.
Stop my girlfriend.
15 minutes into the show, and I got to deal with this. God. So in any event, what I was saying was the following. When we perform live, we will have a little something for you. Woo! There. Now, there, that was just getting out.
What is that about?
It was just some little bit of insanity that I wanted to get out. You feeling better?
I've never felt better in my life.
Really? You walked out of here.
Yes, because I had to take aspirin.
Oh, yeah, right, I know.
Phil, if you don't stop this, I am going to take a swing at you, and you know I mean it, and I won't turn my ring around. And take a look at this. What is that?
That's a big diamond.
Oh, yes, it is. How many carats do you think this is?
I already know, because you've already told me. You've told everybody on Earth. It's 4 carats.
No, I have not told everyone on Earth. You are a real sarcastic swine. You know that?
A swine? A pig? Okay, so it's a 4-carat diamond.
Right. And when I shoot a jab that lands somewhere in the vicinity of your eye, the diamond itself will cut right into the eyeball.
You got a violent streak to you, lady. You know.
Oh, lady, is it?
Yeah, it's lady. And if you want to start talking that way, what am I supposed to do? Stand here and take that shot? Let you blind me in one eye?
Are you saying you'd swing back?
I'd have to.
You did hit a lady. You're not supposed to hit a lady.
Yeah, but if you're going to put a shot.
I just want to be clear. If I threw a right jab using this ring turned outward, the 4-carat ring.
Yes, and it hits me in the eye?
Yes.
And blinds me? Yes, I'd swing back.
you'd swing back and you'd hit a woman. You are all the animal that I always hoped you weren't, but secretly suspected that you were. You are not even a man. You would strike a woman.
No, wait. I want to just be clear here, okay? We have to take a break.
Well, of course you have to take a break. You're going to make your point. You're going to make your little point. You're going to be right, and then you'll go to your break. How do you like my sarcasm?
Margaret, I want to be clear. A woman can slug a man to the point where she blinds him in one eye, and the man can't do anything.
No, he cannot, because he would not be a man.
Okay. I just...
And don't try to get out of this by saying, oh, okay. Well, gee, what a weird thing to say. I'm just going to let that sit there, and the audience will be on my side, because the audience agrees with me. I know they do. I'm Margaret Gray.
All right, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. That's not really a talk show topic, it's a very interesting point of view. We'll be right back. We have other news to discuss, and we will be sure we will discuss it. The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
The world famous Phil Henry Show. Here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. It's nice to be with you, Margaret Gray and Robert Leonard.
Yeah, man, you don't know my name?
He forgot your name.
No, he didn't.
No, I didn't, Robert. I'm just.
Well, what is your problem?
No problem. I don't know whether I ought to be announcing you guys every break.
Margaret, I think you ought to.
No, I don't think I ought to.
Why not? Because, you know, Phil, as a contributor on your program, I would have hoped that there'd be, I'm not looking for you to put my name in a marquee.
You're new, and so, yes, I want to mention you, and that's kind of where I said I should mention Margaret, Bud, and Robert. Let's just defer that discussion, please, because I have on the phone right now, I've got Jeff Dowder on the line, and Jeff has been out and about in... Pasadena today. Jeff, you are a part-time professor of mechanical physics, I know, at Caltech. So where is your Apple store over there in Pasadena? Is where?
Well, the Apple store that most of us are, go to, and either we go to get, something serviced or go over and look and see where the new products are, is in the Pasadena Mall. It's on Colorado Boulevard, and it's right near the City Hall. And that's pretty much the area that I go to. That's my go-to place for Apple, at the Apple store there. And also, it's pretty much a good go-to place for electronics. They've got a couple good electronics stores in there. They did have a Sharper Image, but Sharper Image went belly up. I don't know if you heard about it. And it's probably a good reason they did, because Sharper Image was not, they were just not getting it done,
Why did Sharper Image, I don't know, is Sharper Image out of business?
Yeah, I think, that they are.
Well, Margaret, you're shaking your head.
No, I don't think Sharper Image is completely out of business. I know that they have drawn back,
Well, are you saying that they don't have the same, like they cut down on a number of stores?
That is my understanding. Now, I don't know where in what areas they still operate. And I don't know what their game plan is. I don't know what their business plan is. I don't know if they have any money, and I don't know if any of the stores they still own are open. I don't know if there's any product in those stores, and I am not clear as to whether or not the name on the store is even Sharper Image.
So why do you think they're still operating?
Because that is the news that I'm getting through the grapevine. Why?
So you think that... That's news to the grapevine. I don't understand it.
Well, she's saying it. Well, are you saying they're still open?
I said Sharper Image is still operating.
Yeah, well, how'd they be operating if they're not open?
Yeah, that's primarily the question we're asking here,
Yeah, if they're not... In other words, are you saying that there is a corporate entity called Sharper Image?
I don't know. What I'm saying is this, Phil.
See, it seems to me there has to be something.
What I'm saying is this. Sharper Image has not closed. They've drawn back. Drawn back. All right?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean, Ms. Gray, about how they're not... You know, I know you mean about how they don't have as many stores.
Exactly. They don't have as many stores, but they are still operating. They do have, I believe, the same store hours, but they're not right now opening their doors to people.
Yeah, but they are open.
If you'd please listen to what I'm saying, Phil, this is half the fight, you know.
But Margaret, what you're telling us is they're still operating, but they're not open. They don't have as many stores. They don't even have the sign out front that says Sharper Image. What we're trying to find out, okay, are they still, operating?
Phil, are you listening to me? First of all, you're getting red in the face. You're starting to get really excited.
Phil, calm down. Your health.
Wait a second with this health thing, man. We went through that last night. All I'm asking is... All right, I'm sorry. I'll calm down, okay? All I'm asking is...
I think I know where Mr. Henry's going, where he's going to. I think I know where he's coming to.
Are you trying to say you know where he's coming from?
Yeah, I know where he's coming... Well, I know where he's coming from, but I'm trying to say... I'm trying to get the words out that I'm trying to say.
You're trying to say that you know where he's coming from!
I know where he's coming from.
Then you say that.
Okay, yeah, I know where he's coming from, and...
Where is he coming from? Where is he coming? What is he trying to say?
I'm sitting here.
I'm sorry?
I'm sitting right here. You can ask me.
I'm talking to Mr. I'm sorry, young... Is it Deuter?
It's Jeff Doubter.
Doubter.
It's Jeff Doubter. And Mr. Henry is saying this. He's saying, is it... Am I able to go?
Well, I don't know. Are you?
Well, yeah. What do you mean, are I?
I didn't say are I. Phil, don't say anything, please. I'm talking.
I know it, but you're really getting sidetracked here.
I'm talking. I didn't say are I. I said am I.
Am you what?
You're the one that's saying this.
No, all right. I'm saying Mr. Henry's point of view is, if Sharper Image is still around, then it stands to reason that they would be able to let you in to a place that they have where you could go in there and see what they got. You know?
There was a scene in the movie Clockers where... The young man comes to a store, and I believe another young man comes out of the store, and he says, "Can I help you, brother?" Because these are two young black men.
Uh-huh.
And the other one says, "Yes, I'd like to buy something." And he says, "Well, what is it that you'd like to buy?" And he says, "I want to buy what you got." Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, you see, there's no specificity there, Phil. And because of that...
Come on for a minute here and let's start talking English, for God's sake. What do you mean specificity? All I asked, all anybody asked, is Sharper Image still around? Do they exist as a store? You have essentially said, no, they do not.
I never said any such thing. I said the opposite.
Said the opposite?
She said the opposite, but
And by the way, who is she? Are you talking about me?
Yes, I am.
Could you say Margaret?
I'm sorry, Ms. Gray. That's why I'm going to say that, too.
Margaret, I don't have time for these niceties. I'm trying to get to the point. The point here is that you're saying two opposite things. You're saying, on the one hand, Sharper Image is around. They've drawn back their number of stores, but they are still operating. In another statement, you're saying that Sharper Image doesn't have the sign on the front of the store that says Sharper Image. They've got no product in the store that says anything about Sharper Image. They don't let anybody in the store. The stores have been locked up. There's no store hours. But, yeah, they're still in business.
Is that what you're hearing, sir?
Yeah, that's pretty much, yeah, that's what I was...
Well, that is not what I'm saying, and I would say this about that. I think what you did there is you obfuscated what I was saying. But I will tell you, I'll try to rephrase it. Are we going to a commercial?
Yeah, we are going to a commercial, Margaret, but we don't need to talk about that, because I want to talk to him about... Apple.
No, but I'm going to try and rephrase it.
Yeah, let her try and rephrase it, at least.
Well, do rephrase to what?
I want to rephrase what I said so that I can be clearer.
Yeah, but I mean, you're basically saying that the store, not Apple, but Sharper Image, not open.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they are open. They're doing a very robust business. But you're right. They're not letting one in the door.
Are they doing a catalog business?
A cantaloupe business? I'm sorry.
Catalog. Are they doing a catalog business?
No, they are not.
I don't know. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Jeff Dowder with us talking about Apple iPhone 5.
Yeah, if I ever get to do it, but right now...
We're going into a break.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Phil Hendry.
Why do you always want to make me look like what the part that goes into the back?
World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
I'm worried about spending all that money. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number, 877-876-7445. We're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. And before we get further along, I should tell you that with a Backstage Pass membership to philhendryshow.com, you have access to the largest file of media, digital, electronic, broadcast, however you want to refer to it, download media, anywhere in the world for a single radio show. So you take anybody's radio show, I don't care whose, no one has as much available online as we do. Close to 5,000 hours, over a decade's worth of radio shows. We just completed filling out the archive with all of the audio that we have, and now we are putting together our show logs. And, you know, we're really happy that we were able to do that, you know.
Well, and so you're doing the show logs now.
Yeah, we're doing the show logs now, yeah.
So because that is the one... Here, can I adjust this, please?
Yeah, you put it right there.
Put it right... He put the microphone and lowered it to my breasts. Is that harassment?
No, I didn't. I put it down... No, I did not.
I saw where he put it. He put it at your mouth.
Yes, but he was aiming it... Okay, forget it. I want to say something. Ladies, men are always looking to do something like that. Always keep your eyes open.
Hold on, Margaret. I don't think that was fair at all. My guys are professional, okay?
No, I know they're professional, but men can't help being men. And when Robert was you... Let me see.
Now, all I did is you asked me to adjust your microphone.
Then why did you point the microphone at my left... I'm going to say it. At my left nipple.
You know, Margaret, there comes a time when, I got to call what I see here, all right? And what?
Well, you're all. I mean, you're acting a little nervous, aren't you? I mean, you ever talked about a woman's breast before?
I don't want to talk about your breasts right now. I don't even want to talk about your nipple right now. And I want to defend my man here, my guy Robert, for adjusting that microphone. That's all he was doing.
I understand. I apologize, Robert. I'm saying something that needs to be said, though. That women need to keep their eyes open.
Yeah, I agree with that, but I wouldn't do anything like that.
No, I apologize.
Well, as well you should.
All right, I apologize. My God.
I think it's very insulting to him. And I think it's very insulting to any man who's just trying to do his job for you to say something like that.
Women need to keep their eyes open. Because there's always a man somewhere looking to get a cheap thrill. You know my husband, Frank. Every time I take a bath... He's looking through the crack in the door. I can't.
Yeah, the one time he was looking on a crack in the door.
Then you remember.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, Margaret. Well, he's not here tonight. And thank you for apologizing.
I do, Robert. I'm very sorry. I should not lump you into the category that a lot of men need to be lumped into.
And you're giving me a look. Okay.
Look at you getting very sensitive.
Well, you gave me a big wide-eyed look like this guy here. You know.
I didn't see that.
I don't see it.
Well, he's paranoid.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. You're right. I'm paranoid. All right, let's get back to Jeff Dowder here on the Phil Hendry Show. Paranoid.
Were you thinking that I was referring to you?
When you said, unlike some men, and then you looked at me and went, ooh, you gave the big bug eyes.
Well, no one can see me on Phil TV, can they?
Yes, they can.
Well, then I'll let them be the judge whether I gave the big bug eye or not. And usually, Phil, and it's very crude, where I grew up, when you said to a lady, give me the big bug eye, let me say something. It was very vulgar, very crude, and it was only said in the privacy of a bedroom.
I never heard that. Neither have I.
Excuse me, but please don't insult my intelligence.
Phil has Phil's Jeff Gatter.
Go ahead, Jeff.
I know what she's referring to. You're talking about a bug eye. I know it is kind of crude, and it would not be used.
I don't know what that means.
Phil, do you remember a song? I'll tell you what it means.
Yeah, are you going to talk about Bachman Turner Overdrive?
Yes, there was a song by Bachman Turner Overdrive. This was back when I was had just married Frank, and I turned down the part in Big Valley.
Wait. You said that you didn't get the part in Big Valley, that Linda Evans got the part.
No, I did not, and thank you very much for misstating history. No, I said, Phil.
Margaret.
I said that Linda Evans was up for the part. I turned it down, and she got it.
I thought, okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Please get history right. It's very important. The song was Bachman Turner Overdrive, You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. You know, Jeff, the song?
Yeah, I do. And in the song, they do state, she looked at me with the big brown eye. Okay?
She looked at me with those big brown eyes. That was plural.
I know the song.
This is before your guys' time. It was plural.
No, it was not. Jeff, would you give it to him again?
No, Mr. Henry, yeah, it sounds plural, but it wouldn't...
Slow down.
Yeah, okay,
take a breath.
Okay.
You don't want to hyperventilate, though.
Okay. Okay. It was the song was You Ain't Seen It Yet.
You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. I know the song. I played it. Okay?
Well, I'm not talking... What do you mean you played it? You bought it and brought it home?
No, I was a disc jockey. I played the song on the air.
Oh, okay. So the song had a double-edged sword or a double... I guess...
Double entendre,
yeah. When they did the song You Ain't Seen It Yet or Ain't Seen Nothing Yet, because I don't really remember it too good myself, it was Bachman Turner Overdrive. He goes, you looked at me with that big brown eye. Okay? Now, I know what you're saying, Mr. Henry. It sounds like he says, she looked at me with her big brown eyes. And that's what you're supposed to think it sounds like if you're listening to a station that hasn't banned it. In those days, they used to ban, I'm sure you recall, Mr. Henry, that in those days they used to ban songs.
I remember that. Phil, do you remember when they edited out When I Look Back on All That Crap I Learned, the Paul Simon?
Well, yeah, they used to do that, and they edited out... The word they edited out of a few songs was the S word, which I'm saying they edited out. Look, I can't even say it now, you know?
Yeah, but I hear some guys on the air using the S word. It just depends on who you work for. I guess you work for some pretty anal people, huh?
Now, let's not talk about who I work for. Let's stick to the point, and the point is this song. She looked at me with her big brown eyes. What are you talking about?
Phil, did you say that I gave you the bug eye? You said that, didn't you?
I did say that, Margaret. I was thinking that I was using it in the sense that you were looking with wide eyes at me as if to say, this guy here, Mr. Hendry, is a sexist.
No, I was not... thinking of you being a sex... I was looking at you as the exception, yes. As I said, not all men are like that. And then I looked at you and I widened my eyes. I wasn't thinking of you as sexist so much as I was thinking of you as just degenerate. And I wasn't even thinking that. But to bring this back full circle...
Oh, thank you. As degenerate. Thank you very much.
Oh, for God's sake. Grow up. I'm trying to bring this into context. So when you said to me, oh, I gave you the bug eye.
Did you think he was saying that you gave him the brown eye?
No, I thought he was saying bug eye because it's interchangeable, brown eye and bug eye. So I'm thinking, my God, this man is absolutely desperate. And there was a moment there where I even considered, I would never do it, but I even considered, well, am I supposed to lift my dress up?
Well, Margaret, that is absolutely, completely insane, what you're saying.
Yeah, but, I mean, you got to understand, Mr. Henry, what the context is.
Phil, you said that I was looking at you with the bug eye.
That is absolute insanity. I never said that, meaning that. You're the one that has in your mind some interpretation of the word bug eye. All of my life, bug eye meant somebody with their eyes bugged out, not what you're talking about.
And what am I talking about?
I know what you're talking about, and everybody else knows what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's kind of a term from...
Well, it's a very unfortunate term from my youth when a guy would say, oh, wow, the bug eye, you know, and you were supposed to...
Can we just...
Well, you look like you're going to... My God, he looks like he's going to vomit.
Yeah, you do, miss. Are you all right?
Yeah. What's the matter? All I do is talk about a lady.
Just be quiet, please. Jeff, I apologize. We were supposed to get around to talking about the iPhone.
Well, I mean, I think it's important to clarify a lot of the term, but, you know, again, when you say, she's looking at me with a big brown eye, you are talking about a sexual thing. And so when you said to Ms. Gray that you, or she said that you said a bug eye, and her interpretation is a Eastern Philadelphia, or not Philadelphia. Where are you from, ma'am?
I come from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Okay, and that's what bug eye is. And
okay, we've talked about enough about this. We've talked out what the relative meanings of these terms are far, far longer than we needed to. Can we get to the iPhone, please?
I'm ready to talk about iPhone anytime you want, but I mean, I'm sure Ms. Gray already is going to have questions, right?
Just the use of the word I, because you have to understand, Phil, that why are you looking at me like that?
Well, when is this going to end? When is this going to end? When can I talk to him?
I am trying to save you absolute embarrassment. Do you understand?
Yeah, this is kind of important, Mr. Henry.
What I am trying to say is... that if you say iPhone in the context of how we've been using bug eye, do you understand?
That's supposed to mean something anal as well?
It can. It can. That's all I'm trying to say. And I really, you know, it bothers me that I have been trying to keep the conversation elevated here, and you keep trying to drag it into a sewer. Isn't that interesting? Here I am up on the street, and there you are in your little sewer.
Well, you know, Ms. Gray, can I say something?
No, I want to say something.
Well, what? You're popping your head out of your sewer?
I'm going to throw you off the air here if I keep getting insulted.
Oh, well, yes, sir.
I haven't been able to talk about this iPhone 5 for at least a half an hour because we've been bogged down, all right. Bogged down in what bug eye means.
Now, here he goes. He's starting to laugh now. He can act so indignant, and then he starts to laugh.
We're bogged down in what bug eye means, and now that has to have something to do with iPhone.
Well, it can, Mr. Henry, from a contextual point. If you say, you know, to someone, my iPhone, hey, call me on my iPhone, that's sexual, okay? That's sexual. And you have to admit it, and you have to face up to it, because you can't, you know, we try to do everything we can, but there's nothing we could do, okay?
That's sexual, huh?
Yeah, that is.
That, you talk about on an iPhone, you talk about like...
Yeah, wait a minute. Is that like talking to Ralph on a big white phone? People say, I talk to Ralph on a big white phone.
Yes, when they say I talk to Ralph on the big white phone, that means I vomited.
Right.
So when they say I'm going to talk to you on your iPhone...
Yeah, that also has a context.
Okay.
Yeah, it's sort of, I understand it now. So what should you say if you go to iStore?
Wait a minute, man. Are you guys trying to tell me... this is some use of the word iPhone that absolutely has missed like 90%, 99% of the population. I don't think there's anybody that I know, and I don't care how old they are, that talking on the iPhone suddenly means something sexual.
Well, I mean, you know, it depends on who
It depends on who you hang with, you know.
Yeah, I can see that.
It depends on who you hang with.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you want me to talk about an iPhone, I'm very happy to do that. But I would prefer to just call it the Apple smartphone or the Applefin, because that's what people are using it.
That's the like in Telephone. Did you see the film Telephone?
Yeah.
Well, that's what Jeff's saying. He's saying, why don't we just go ahead and call it the Applefon or the Applefin?
Yeah, the Applefin is probably more of a.
Spit it out, man!
Oh, God, look at him.
What's wrong?
Well, the guy's going...
You really need a vacation. You really do.
Yeah, are you all right, Phil?
I'm fine, man. Are you guys listening to the same guy that I'm listening to? There's Jeff going...
No, I'm just saying that Applefin is more of American, that's all.
That's what he was trying to say. I understand.
Well, now we have to take a break, and I still don't know any of the features on the iPhone.
Would you have a little respect...
I still don't know any of the features on...
What are you laughing about?
What's the matter, Miss Harry?
Nothing, nothing. I still don't know any of the features on the Applephone.
Oh, look at him laugh. You don't really know how hard people work at the Apple... at the Apple.
No, I guess I don't. We'll be right back here. I guess you're going to tell me that I disrespected Steve Jobs?
Absolutely you did.
We'll be back to talk about the Applephone in a moment.
Truth
our
bitch.
That's the Phil Henry Show.
Well, I'm wondering if the context of iPhone is always about anal.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. What I was trying to say, I don't know if we ever really did get it said. We're going to the Free Phil Henry podcast is indeed still very much a part of our marvelous offering here. So what is that, man? What is that, bud?
That's it, the ocean.
Oh, okay. That's, I just saw this thing on the screen. There is, but we have been so overloaded with work here of late that we haven't gotten our podcast. We haven't put a new podcast up in a week. So I think we will be rectifying that, if you'll pardon the term. That means correcting Bud, you know.
Well, Bud was giving a look, and it's an unfortunate word.
What, the word rectifying?
Yes. I mean, I don't mind using it, but it's a very unfortunate word because, you know, you do get the, we've just been talking about bug eye, haven't we? So, were I more nitpicky, I suppose, I would make an issue of it, but I won't.
Margaret, believe me when I tell you that when you say bug eye or rectify, I don't think of anything having to do with, you know...
Anal?
Will you shut up, man?
He's simply trying to say what we're talking about.
I don't care. I'm trying to do a dance here, bud.
That's what I thought you were saying.
That is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm having. Let me just handle this. So anyway, we're rectifying that situation. Also, join us online at Phil Henry Show with a Backstage Pass. The Milwaukee Lions will be, their game is blacked out this week, Robert.
Yeah, the Milwaukee Lions are blacked out because of their contractual obligation in the Milwaukee area, but the Phil Henry Hillbilly Football Game of the Week will be played.
And it's Portland and Tucson.
Yeah, it's going to be Portland and Tucson with Ned Garlean and Larry McKinney.
All right, so there will be the Phil Henry Hillbilly Football Conference Game of the Week. Ned Garlean and Larry McKinney calling the action from Tucson's Persner Tire Stadium as the Tucson Tequila take on the Portland Logs. And that will be late on Monday, right?
Yeah, it'll be a late game on Monday, probably about, I think, like 3 o'clock or something.
3 in the afternoon. Okay, well, it's a West Coast time. All right. So the other thing I want to mention is I'm going to be heading out on Saturday to Washington, D.C. And
You were upset about the ticket you bought.
Yeah, I bought a first-class ticket, and it just, I don't know, man. I look at every expense now. I look at every dime, and I travel first class, not so much because I think that I'm just the greatest guy and I need... I do because I used to be, not anymore, I used to be a really fat guy, so I needed the seat, you know?
Yeah, what's your excuse now?
Exactly, what's your excuse now?
Now my excuse is that if I don't sleep... And I usually don't. If I'm working late and I got to get up early and I don't sleep, I'm going to sleep on the airplane. And I need a big seat to sleep in. Thank you very much, okay?
All right. Well, you know, Phil, you're justifying buying that first class ticket. You don't really need to buy that.
Yeah, you probably don't.
Well, guess what? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Why?
I just told you because it's easier for me to sleep, okay? I can sleep in those nice chairs. It feels good. That's what I want to do.
But it's bothering you that you spent the money.
It is bothering me. It always bothers me. It always bothers me. I spent the money. The thing that bothers me is that it was a late purchase. I was supposed to go last weekend. Then we didn't because the surgery got put off, and I also had some other stuff that was happening. I had rehearsing this thing that I've been talking about. Now I'm going to go, and now the weekend's open. I can do it. But I only booked the ticket here just, you know, like yesterday. And, of course, you know, you got to suck it up on the price and stuff.
Yeah, but if you didn't buy a first-class ticket...
Yeah, you'd save the money.
Well, I ain't that willing not, you know, I'm telling you right now, I'm not that willing to, you know, in other words, flying first class isn't going to pain me that much, man. So.
Well, then I think, and you know, Frank and I travel first class everywhere, and sometimes, let me, if I could just say this.
Go ahead.
First of all, traveling first class is not the, it really is not the status symbol that it used to be. Frank and I charter, and at one time Frank did own his own aircraft, which we sold. I didn't like him flying it.
Was it a private jet?
It was a private Learjet. Then we, you know, decided to fly commercially.
Hold on, Margaret. We got to take a break.
Oh, God almighty.
Margaret, we have to take the break. We'll be right back. Hour two here of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Vernon Dozier is going to be joining us to talk about education and the Elizabeth Warren-Scott Brown debate. Apparently, it just, the lid blew off this thing, and we'll talk about it coming up. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Scott Brown is just the worst thing.
I think he's good.
Scott Brown is an animal. An animal. An
Phil
animal.
Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhendryshow.com. A lot of fun stuff ahead on the Phil Hendry Show. We're thinking of, I know it's a little early for this, but we are thinking of a Thanksgiving broadcast where we will open up the studio to some friends. We've never had really living flesh and blood people in here other than Margaret and Robert and Bud. And on occasion, who else have we ever?
I've never heard you have any. I think you had. Oh, I know you had Harry Shearer. You had Harry Shearer. But I don't think you had anyone.
Well, it's not Harry Shearer. It's Harry Shearer, and he was on the phone.
Yeah, he was on the phone.
Well, it's Harry Shearer, isn't he? He's Jewish, isn't he?
Will you stop with the whispering?
Well, I don't know, Phil. I'm trying to follow you, and I don't know.
It's just Harry Shearer. He's on the phone.
He's Jewish, isn't he?
You sound like my mother, you know.
There you go again with the mother. If you compare me to your mother one more time, I'm going to take off this high heel, and I'm going to bury the heel in your brain.
Wow.
God, man, hit a cord there.
Wow.
What money down?
I'm sorry, I...
Boy. Must have really got you subconsciously there, huh?
Yeah, sure. That's right, Sigmund. You got me real sub.
Yeah, well, you obviously.
What are you saying?
Well, I mean, it sounded to me like he hit a chord there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I'm going to bury my heel in your brain.
Yes, I am. If you keep comparing me to your mother, I'll take off this high. Well, you know the rest.
Yeah, you'll bury the heel in my brain.
The man with the heel buried in his brain.
Ha, ha, ha. Bad, good one.
Pretty good, bud.
Pretty good, bud.
Oh, come on, Margaret.
Oh, come on, Margaret.
See, two can play at that game.
Two can, but that's what you do.
Two, that's what you do.
Cut it out, Miss Gray.
Cut it out, Miss... I can't even do your voice. You sound... I'd have to know how to do Froggy and Miss Piggy.
Hey... All right, let's on the line with us here from Glendale, California. We have Vernon Dozier. We're going to be talking here with him about the debate tonight or today. It was between Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown in Massachusetts, and I hear that it was an absolute barn burner. Vernon, how you doing this evening?
Can't complain, Phil. And I was listening to Ms. Gray and the other two guys you got there talking about this. You were talking about something that completely slipped my. You were talking about your podcasts, and you're going to have a have everybody in on the Thanksgiving, and then you got interrupted.
Oh yeah, but thank you. We're going to have everybody in on Thanksgiving, and we're going to do a blowout.
Well, you can't even say it.
Why can't I say it?
Because it's the same reason why you're using bug eye.
Can I jump in here for a minute?
No, I don't know why. You're not the host.
Margaret, I'll direct the show. Thank you. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, this woman, Ms. Gray, has been... she's been directing the program, as I've noticed, into these areas of sex.
No, I have not, whoever you are.
My name is Vernon Dozier, thank you.
All right, that means as much to me as if you were to tell me your name and you were gardening. You were mowing my lawn or you were spreading seed. I don't know what that means.
I am a teacher at Belmar Academy. I don't care if you know me, I'm just saying. Mr. Hendry said, Bug Eye, you referred to anal sex. He says that they're going to blow it out, and he misspoke, and he said they're going to blown it out, and your mind goes to oral. I think that you should apologize to Mr. Hendry because you're the one that's been dragging this program down, not him.
Okay, are you done? Because I don't know who you are, and I will not take that from anyone. I have not been dragging this program down to anything. I have been attempting to elevate this program.
And that's something else, Phil, if I could just say something.
No, you may not say anything. No, you may not.
I'm the host of the show, and yes, he is. Go ahead.
Oh, so that's it. So I'm the host of the show, and I'm just going to bring on everybody, anyone that I know, that can rip Margaret Gray to shreds. What was the word you used? Eviscerate. Eviscerate. I love that word, and yet I'm frightened of that word. Think of that word, eviscerate. What kind of a mind does it take to come up with a word like that?
I did not hear the context.
The context was Mr. Hendry talking about what he calls suits in radio, and that he was going to eviscerate them.
Well, I don't know anything.
No, you don't. And that's the smartest thing I've heard you say so far. You don't know.
I don't know, ma'am. I didn't hear that part. I'm trying to say, if I can continue.
Go ahead. What are you looking at me for?
I'm looking at you for the last time to say this. I will direct the show, not you. Go ahead, Vernon.
All right. I didn't come on the program. I didn't want to start a fight here. Okay?
You're not starting any fight.
I just wanted to say that I've heard the word blown and bug eye and the big brown, eyes of the song. And I remember that song because I was offended by that song. If anyone remembers it, I was deeply offended by that song. And a lot of people were.
So you do remember the song, and I was offended by it as well. And Mr. Hendry is asking, or is talking, as if there was nothing offensive in the song.
Well, yeah, but the thing that it was offensive to me, ma'am, is not the same thing as to you. The thing that's offensive to me about that song, and I dare say most people, is when he went, he was talking like a muttering, stumbling, stuttering, fool, and at that time in my life, I had a very pronounced stutter. And so when he said, she looks at me with her big, with the Porky Pig routine, I was offended by that.
Yeah, I remember that song now.
Yeah, that was, when I heard it, it sounded rather comic, and it sounded like a play on The Who's My Generation.
What I don't understand what the two of you were talking about. Every girl that I knew at the time was deeply offended by the reference to the big brown... You know what?
The big brown eyes is what he says. Says plural.
Well, you're another man who hears plural. Women heard singular.
Wait a minute. Are you telling me that of all the people that listened to that song when it came out, women were offended by the big brown eyes line and the men were the only ones offended by the stuttering?
Well, I don't know what the men were offended by. I knew that was what... we were calling radio stations all the time. Every time they played it, we said, we will boycott... We will boycott your station if we hear one more time about some guy looking at a big brown eye.
Well, that's a new one on me.
That's a new one on me, too.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You guys are too young. The song came out in 1974 when the song came out, Bachman Turner Overdrive. You ain't seen nothing yet.
Yeah, so, but I had a pronoun. How old were you at that time, Phil?
I was 22. I was in radio already. I was doing, I was working a disc jockey gig in Orlando.
I was, uh, I guess I'm a little bit younger than you, because I was still in high school. I was graduating from high school, and I had this very pronounced stutter. And I'd say, my name is Vernon, you know. So it people laughed, and we all had a good time with it.
Didn't that hurt you?
Well, I don't want to talk about that right now.
But it hurt you, didn't it?
Yes, of course it did. You're a young man, and I'm walking around there, you know, I'm Vernon, you know. But the reason why it doesn't hurt that much is because I break it out at parties now, and people howl like crazy, and I can actually get some laughs legitimately, meaning I don't stutter anymore. In fact, I tell my students that when they don't speak up, and they say, well, Mr. Dozier, I think blah, blah, and I'll say, hey, I don't stutter. You know, they'll tell me if they can't hear me. They'll say, what'd you say? I said, I don't stutter. You know?
Yeah, I know that line. All right. So.
Oh, you know that line. Okay, well, I didn't mean to bore you.
See, now you notice, Vern, this is what he does. He blows it off. Oh, well, yeah, okay, thanks. Can we move on?
Yeah, that hurts. That hurts.
What hurts?
Well, you're all, sure, you know.
Look, Vernon, I just want to get to the war. We were going to talk about the Apple iPhone 5.
And I was listening for that.
Yeah, and we got sidetracked.
Well, it was this woman talking about iPhone means somehow you're... I don't know what she was talking about. What am I... I'm resting my ear on someone's ass? You know, is that what that is?
I don't know, sir.
Well, who are you?
I'm Robert.
Well, where's Mr. Hendry?
He got up to use the bathroom. Ms. Gray is also, I think he's talking to her.
Yeah, they suddenly got up and left.
Well, are we on the air right now?
Yeah, sir, we're on the air, but Mr. Hendry looked like he was really mad, so he said Ms. Gray come outside.
Well, how do you know the two of them aren't off, you know?
No, he looked really mad at her. And he said, get out there.
Well, am I talking to you guys?
Yeah, we'll try to do the best we can. So,
Well, hold on for just a minute. I came on the program to talk to Mr. Hendry.
Mr. Hendry is not here right now.
Yeah, okay, so what do I get in return? What are you giving me? Mr. Hendry is not there, so that's something that's been taken from me. And that is the opportunity to have a coherent and semi-intelligent conversation. That has now been ripped from my grasp, and I'm left with you two. So what do I get in return?
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll go to a commercial and we'll talk about it.
We'll go to a commercial and we'll... I don't know, these two...
Yeah, so we're going to go to a commercial now. It's a Phil Hendry show, and he's talking to Mrs. Gray, but they're going to be back on the Phil Hendry show.
Truth
do a phone
is
number.
Our bitch.
Yeah.
The Phil Hendry Show.
That guy's talking. What do I talk now?
Talk now.
877-876-7445.
Are you two idiots?
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You understand, right?
I understand, Phil, and I don't have to be dragged out of the studio like a recalcitrant schoolgirl, all right?
What's that mean?
Oh, easy, bud. We'll tell you in a minute. I had to, because when he said what he said, Mr. Dozier is on the line with us, Vernon Dozier from Belmar Academy. Vernon, I apologize. Are you there?
Yes, yeah, I'm right here, but I wasn't about to go into a... I'm not going to have Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard interview me and say that's good enough for Vernon Dozier, and I don't think... that I'm all that special, but you've got two men that I know you've employed because you are a kind man, and if you didn't employ them, the two of them would be probably pushing a broom or you know, emptying a smaller can into a larger one. I think you know where I'm going. And
that's not fair to say, sir. I can do a lot of things. Besides, I'm a security guard. I'm not emptying a can.
You talk about garbage?
Yeah, when I say emptying a smaller can into a larger one, that's what I mean.
Well, if you're going to insult them, you know, directly, okay?
What do you mean? I am insulting them directly.
You can just say they're not smart enough.
All right, they're not smart enough. I don't have anything against you, Bud and Robert. You're fine guys, but I came on the program to be interviewed by Mr. Hendry, and that's what's going to happen one way or another.
Even if I don't want to interview you?
What is that supposed to mean?
What that mean? Look at this.
I'm looking at that Phil TV, and every time you hit that lever on your chair... and the chair goes down, I got to tell you, Mr. Hendry, you look like about 100 yards of a real jackball. You know,
I'm sorry. I've got a faulty chair here.
Well, you don't have to apologize, but I spend money, ladies and gentlemen, on a subscription to the Phil TV. So I'm looking at Phil, and your leg. And I don't know whether you got that jittery leg syndrome. Is that what you get? Is that your problem? And
why are you saying that?
Well, I think he's saying that because you keep moving your leg around. You keep hitting that lever.
Yeah, that's what you said you did, right?
Yeah, I'm hitting the. It's not jittery leg syndrome.
Well, you know that that's something that can be treated with the new roll. I think there's a new, it's called Rolipine.
Yeah, there's a couple of neurotransmitter aids.
I don't have the jittery leg syndrome, okay? I hit the lever by mistake.
Well, I got to tell you, I'm looking at you on the TV, and you suddenly just go from, you know, normal size, and you just midget right down into, all there was a head and headphones and a microphone that you couldn't reach. And it looked pretty. Got to tell you, you know.
That looked pretty funny. I got to look back on on-demand later on.
Okay, fine. All right, we're back here with Vernon Dozier, and I was talking to Margaret out of the studio because the two of you, Mr. Dozier, and you, Ms. Gray, cooked this thing up before the show. I found out that apparently the two of you do know each other, and you said, you know, I'll make a reference by saying, how do you use an iPhone? Do you rest your head on someone's butt? And that's when I called Margaret out of the studio, and I said to her that I will fire you from this show unless you acknowledge this on the air.
I talked to Vernon before the program, and we thought it would be cute.
And you, Mr. Dozier?
Okay, I mean, I didn't think it was some kind of a, you know, I didn't think it was a war crime, but if you say it is. No,
it's not a war crime, but what it is you two guys acting like you're 11.
Don't people pull stunts on the radio?
Now, that's what I tried to say to him, Vernon, but...
No, wait. That's what I tried to say to him. You let the host in on what you're doing. If you want to do something on the air, that's fine. When you don't let the host in on what the gag is, then what you're doing is you're trying to circumvent the host and you're trying to undermine the show. Do you understand?
Do I understand? That's what you said.
Yeah, he did say that, Phil.
Yeah, it sounded like understand.
Do you understand?
That sounded like understand, yeah.
Yeah, it did.
Okay, now that we know that I can pronounce the word...
Well, that seems to be a very important thing.
All right, you know, forget it. Goodbye.
Phil, oh, for God's sake. Phil.
Where is he?
Don't worry, I've got it. Phil!
You got Miss Gray, you got on a...
I understand. This is Margaret Gray, and welcome to the Margaret Gray... No, the Phil Hendry Show.
You gotta say it's his show. He'll come out, man. He'll come out swinging. Yep.
No, it's the Phil... I understand that. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Phil is upset and has walked away.
I'm coming back.
Oh, for God. What a... No, I've got it now.
No, I'm coming back. I'm going to do the show. I can't... I'm not going to listen to you do it. I want to do it.
Well, I was doing it too good, so you decided to come back?
No, you weren't doing it.
I think that's what it is. I think she was kicking ass.
For 10 seconds? No, I'm coming back. I'm going to do the show.
Just pretend like nothing happened.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, I'll pretend that nothing happened, too.
Vernon, tell me about Earl Warren and...
Earl Warren was a Supreme Court justice... Oh, God!
Mr. Henry, it's Elizabeth Warren.
Elizabeth Warren and Big Brown...
Scott Brown.
We can do this some other time, Phil.
No, I'm fine. I can do it, and I'm going to do it, and we're going to get through this, and I'm not going to hear anybody say anything different, okay?
Well, you just called Elizabeth Warren Earl Warren.
I understand that. I misspoke. I'm sorry if you don't like the word misspoke or you think it is ill-used, but I did misspeak.
What about Big Brown Eye?
I never said that. I said Big Brown. Yes, I probably was on my way to saying that.
Well, seemed like a pretty big...
It seems like a big mistake.
I was just going to say, it seemed like a big mistake to me.
That wasn't a big mistake. I said Big Brown.
Well, if you want, I can refer to him as Big Brown.
No, call him Scott Brown.
I'm just saying, to make it easier.
It probably would make it easier if you think about it, Mr. Henry.
Make what easier?
Well, that way you just say Big Brown, because it's already on your mind.
That's a good point.
No, it's not a good point. I'm not going to say it's a debate between Earl Warren and Big Brown. It's a...
Come on, everybody, let's talk Phil.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's giving me the look.
Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown. Go ahead.
All right. Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown, Phil, showed why the U.S. Senate race in Massachusetts is one of the most closely watched in the nation, as the two candidates skillfully sparred and jabbed throughout their first debate in what was a toe-to-toe contest. And let me tell you something. If you didn't see it, you missed it. I got to tell you, both candidates displayed considerable ability as debaters, although Brown, the Republican incumbent, was willing to mix charm with mudslinging, quickly ridiculing Warren's disputed claims to Native American heritage. Professor Warren claimed that she was a Native American, a person of color, and as you can see, she's not. Brown's remark was a reference to a controversy over Warren having represented her heritage without evidence, which Warren blames on family stories and denies any professional gain.
So what was this?
Well, she said she was an Indian.
No, she did not. I'd like to jump in here because I know that you are primarily for Scott Brown, Vernon.
Yes, that's true, ma'am, but I'm the one that was brought on to report on the debate.
Yeah, but go ahead, Margaret.
Thank you, Phil.
I don't see how that's fair, Phil.
Will somebody listen to me tonight and do what I ask them to do without giving me an argument, please?
Yeah, but...
Will someone listen to me tonight and... See, there's the music.
Yes, there's the music. Every time I want to say something. God.
Well,
Hi, everybody. We're doing a radio show. Thanks for joining us. We'll be right back.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Just don't.
Phil, can I...
Don't do it. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
I'm sorry, Phil.
Shut up.
Well, I...
Shut up.
Okay.
Shut up.
I just want to go to the bathroom.
Shut up.
Phil Henry.
Better not go to the bathroom.
I'm not gonna.
Looking up a word that I've seen in print, and I know I've heard, but I didn't know how to pronounce it. I'm sorry, Margaret, I should have asked you.
Yes, it's called a riposte. Riposte, and it means it is a retort or a thrust in fencing. It is considered a fencer's very quick return thrust following a parry. Now, a parry, excuse me, Bud, but...
Bud, don't interrupt.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question.
What do you want to ask?
What do you mean by parry?
A parry is a fencing term.
It's okay, because it's...
What?
Well, what's the fruit?
That is a pear. Oh, God.
Bud, you got to be kidding.
No, I get why...
Well, it sounds like it's not the same thing.
One's a pear, and the other's a parry.
Oh, God, I'm feeling faint. I really am feeling faint. I just...
What are you feeling faint from?
Well, it just... When you get hit with a wave of that kind of dumb, you're knocked off your feet for a little bit. I just... Oh, God.
Yeah.
What is that?
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I put on Jay-Z.
Well, keep Jay-Z off the air for a second. On the line with us as well is Vernon Dozier from the Belmar Academy in Glendale, California, as we are discussing here this evening the Warren and Brown debate. This was Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown in Massachusetts. And Vernon, excuse me, thanks for being with us.
I wanted to say to Ms. Gray, I know exactly how you feel, because I every day I get hit with that same wave of dumb. It's called teaching a class in a high school, you know, teaching it. Trying to say it in an elegant way, and I blew it. I'm not Mr. Henry. I'm not a public talk person, you know.
Well, I know you're not a public speaker, but you're showing a lack of creative control over language.
In what way?
Well, when you went, I'm not a public talk talker.
Yeah, you're just nervous.
I'm a little bit nervous, ma'am. I'm a little bit nervous, that's all.
Okay, well, all right. And I think it's a very fair point. You do speak to young people every day in class, but you're not on the radio every day, so I understand, Vernon. And I don't think it's necessary to mock him. I want to get us back on track. We're talking about the debate.
Exactly.
And I'd like to hear more from Vernon Dozier about the debate in Massachusetts between Scott Brown, who is currently the sitting senator there, a Republican senator, and Elizabeth Warren, I believe, is not. She's a teacher, a professor at Harvard. So go ahead.
Phil, Scott Brown won a special election is what happened there, and is currently holding that seat. But right now they're going to have themselves an election. Now, Elizabeth Warren and Scott Brown went toe-to-toe. The reports that I'm hearing, the two of them gave as good as they got. There's no question about that. Each one scoring points. It was Senator Brown that apparently was the more, I guess you'd say...
Well, I heard he was very sarcastic.
You could say that, yeah. He was a lot more sarcastic. I wouldn't call it sarcasm so much as he was just taking those odd shots. Elizabeth Warren, Ms. Warren, Professor Warren, and he kept calling her Professor Warren, by the way, which didn't seem to get under her skin at all, and I think he wanted it to, but she apparently remained unflappable in the face of these provocations. At each point in what was described as a very fast-moving debate, Warren hammered away at Scott Brown's voting record in the U.S. Senate. She nailed him to extreme Republican positions on the economy, on energy, on climate change, and on women's rights. And she said to the following, I wrote this down, Senator Brown can say what he wants, but he has voted. Whatever that means.
Well, I know what that means. That means that he can say what he wants, but his record on voting speaks for itself, and I think that's a very good point.
Yeah. All right. So meaning that you can say what you want, but you can't run from a voting record.
I think that's fair. I think that's a fair thing to say. And you'll notice that I am being unflappable in the face of my provocations here. So in any event...
And what does that mean?
What does that mean?
It's a good question. Are you being provoked?
Yeah, I'm being provoked by this woman, Ms. Gray. And
it's very interesting, Vernon, that before the show started, you were all, oh, yeah, let's do that. When I said, when they bring up iPhone, get in the line about, putting your ear on someone's rear end. And you were all, ooh, yeah.
I didn't say, ooh, yeah. I said, that's funny.
Yeah, but now you're saying this woman... So, which is it? Do you want to have yourself some fun, or do you want to take me on tete-a-tete in a debate and walk out of here, figuratively speaking, wearing suspenders and a barrel, your clothes having been sliced from you as I parry and riposte?
Yay! That was fantastic!
Yeah, that was really good. Give me 5 minutes. Give me 5 minutes, Gray.
I will, thank you.
Get out of here with give me five. I don't want that stuff, Kate. Okay? You want to respond to that, Vernon?
Well, yeah, I'd like to respond. Yeah, I'd like to respond to it, but I don't think I can.
Well, why can't you?
Yes, I'd like to hear what your response is.
Well, if I respond, I'm going to use words that will lose a lot of licenses around the country. If I respond the way I should to what she just said, I'm going to use MFFBW, okay?
What is that again?
Yeah, I thought you might take notice. W.
W.
Oh, okay, I know what he means.
Well, I don't. What does that mean?
I'm not going to say. If you don't know, I'm not saying.
Well, why don't you have the guts to say it?
Because I don't want you to lose your license, Mr. Henry. I think I just said that.
That word won't lose me my license. I can assure you.
Well, I'm still not.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. What?
I'm still nothing.
What?
I'm still not going to say.
What W means?
I'm not going to, no, and I'd rather you not either, Mr. Hendry.
Whore.
So you call... Good night.
Okay, wait, Margaret, don't leave, because you got to do my show.
I'm going to make...
Thank you very much, Phil. That was a backstabbing move that I cannot believe. I was giving you the report.
Yeah, and then you're the guy that put your foot in your mouth, okay?
Hold on for a minute. What? Oh, God. She's on the other line. I got to take it.
Who, Margaret?
Yeah, who do you think? Thanks a lot.
Well, you know, I mean...
Why do you say it?
Because they don't look at... Wait, hold on for a minute here. On this radio show, what we can say, we say. What we can't say, we won't say. But what we can say, we say. I'm not holding anything back. If he's going to call her a whore, then he's going to have to stand by that.
Yeah, but he didn't do it. He said a W.
He said that he would use that word were it not for what he thought was the fact that we'd lose licenses of radio stations. And when I informed him, that word is not verboten. There's nothing in any kind of litigation or FCC ruling that says you can't use the word whore, so you can use it. What's surprising to me is Ms. Gray not getting it, you know?
Yeah, she's all like,
Yeah, she don't understand what the word was.
Huh? What?
Okay, bud, you get it. God.
Huh?
Why are you doing that?
That's what she was like doing.
Yeah, I know, but why do you keep doing it?
Probably has to do with my brain injury.
Yeah, it gets like obsessive compulsive.
Is that what that is?
Yeah, sometimes I just want to...
Is that from when your bike went...
Yeah, when I went in the tree.
So you do... I didn't know that.
Yeah, sometimes. Like, I get obsessive... Then I got obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, you got to take some medicine for it.
So you take a... Like, what do you do, man? What kind of obsessive compulsive?
Like, I don't know. It's just... Like, one time I was running. I was, you know, jogging or I was working out. And I said... I can't, if I don't make it to the top of this hill, then little kids are going to die. And I can't help but, I can't help thinking that.
You can't help, what is?
That's like a lot of obsessive compulsive people have a thought that they can't help, you know?
Yeah.
So you can't help every time you're jogging up a hill?
No, it's like anytime I'm doing something that, it's really hard, like if I'm lifting weights or something, and I want to do two more reps, it's really hard.
Yeah.
All of a sudden in my mind, if I don't do two more reps, a bunch of little kids will die somewhere. So I got to do it.
And that thought you can't help but have.
Yeah, it's. And I told a doctor, and he goes, yeah, that's just obsessive compulsive.
Yeah, well, that's not kind of weird, but it's not really that weird.
Wow, that's a thought you just, I bet you I know why that happens.
Why?
Because it's you're reminded every time that you have a strenuous activity that you're pushing yourself through, you're reminded of that thought. Most people, it won't automatically come back.
Yeah, that's what the doctor said. It's like
obsessive compulsive. Hey, what happened to Jeff?
I don't know.
Well, what the hell? Did we hang up on him?
I don't know.
Is he on the line there?
Let me look. There's one line blinking here.
We'll find out if that's him or not, man.
Yeah.
That you, Jeff?
Yeah, I've been waiting to go back on. I knew that you had on Margaret Gray and everything.
You've been hanging on there for the last half hour?
About 4 or 5 minutes.
You poor guy. I'm sorry, man. So, and we were going to talk about the iPhone, huh?
Yeah, but I lost my notes, so... I don't...
You lost your notes. You lost your notes on the 5?
On the 5.
On the iPhone 5 is what I mean.
No, I lost my notes on Interstate 5.
Did you lose your notes on the number 5?
Yeah.
Okay. Not on Interstate 5.
No, I did. I lost them on Interstate 5.
I'm not... Look, I don't want to do Abbott and Costello who's on first. Did you lose the notes that you have to the iPhone, the 5 iPhone, you know?
The iPhone 5.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
On i5.
I don't care if you lost them on i5. I'm sorry you lost them on i5. You could have lost them on i10, you know?
But I would have said I lost them on the San Bernardino Freeway. What's up with you, man? You're not going to say...
So you're saying you lost them on the I-5 because that's what they call the I-5?
Yeah, hello?
No, they call it the Golden State Freeway. How's that feel, huh? Is that a nice fit?
Yeah, sometimes. A lot of times they say 5.
Yeah, they do.
What, are you taking his side now?
No, I mean, it's just like people will sometimes say, nobody ever says, yeah, I gotta go take the 10. They'll say, I gotta go take, you know.
Yeah, well, they'll go say, I gotta go take a dump.
Yeah, it's pretty true. They gotta go take a dump. Then they'll say they gotta go take on a...
Okay, I understand. They say they gotta take the San Bernardino or the Santa Monica. Is that what you're saying?
Is that what it's called?
The San Bernardino or the Santa Monica.
I didn't know what the other one was called.
What other one?
I thought it was the San Bernardino.
It's the San Bernardino Freeway until you get to the harbor, and then it becomes the...
But what are you guys talking about, man?
Talking about the freeway that's the 10?
Yes. You guys don't know that.
No, I didn't know that.
It's the Santa Monica Freeway once you go west of the harbor.
What's the harbor?
It's the I-10. It's the 110.
What's the I-10?
The I-10. I'm going to start. Are you guys doing this on purpose? On purpose?
On purpose?
On purpose.
No, man. If you listen to yourself, man, you're not making no sense. We don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I see, a lot of times you'll say that. I don't know.
Yeah, a lot of people don't know the freeways around here unless you say what the number of it is. Okay, Mr. Henry? You know?
Yeah, I understand. I'm just telling you that the 10, what you call the, and it is the San Bernardino Freeway, east of downtown Los Angeles, but if you go west, it's called the Santa Monica. Now, the Harbor Freeway is the 110. That is a north-south freeway.
Yeah, it's the one that goes through downtown Los Angeles and then goes,
Not call Los Angeles, call Los Angeles.
Los Angeles. And
Los Angeles is it's a very old way of pronouncing, a lot of old-timers call it Los Angeles. A lot of people that have been here, people that first arrived here from the Midwest called it Los Angeles.
Who's that?
Just people that arrived here, man, I don't know.
Well, okay, so the Harbor Freeway's the what?
It's the 110, man. That's all I'm telling you. So when you say that you lost your papers on the I-5...
I didn't. I said I lost them on the 5.
What's the matter?
That's what I'm talking about, okay? That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, but nobody calls it the Golden State.
Some people do. I do.
Okay, I mean, you know, you're of that generation of, like, people that are, wow, I gotta go to... Like, don't you know how to get someplace unless you say the...
Don't you know how to get someplace unless you say the number? That's like a little kid or something.
What? Everybody knows what the 5 is.
Yeah, I know what the 5 is. It's the Golden State Freeway or the Santa Ana.
What? What are you,
what are you talking about, the Santa Ana?
No, I never called that.
Do you cats, your generation, don't know the names of freeways?
Your generation don't know. Man, you sound all dumbass. And
okay, goodbye.
Wait a minute, man. How do I get my notes back?
We got a break, Dan?
Yeah, let me check with Dan.
I'm talking to Dan, not you.
Dan, we got a break? Hey, Dan.
He just said we have to break, okay?
I'll call him up. Dan, I'm going to be calling you in a couple minutes to find out when we break.
Oh, that'll be great. Call him in a couple of minutes after we're done with the break. We'll be right back to world-famous Phil Henry Show, where we broadcast near the 101, sometimes called the Ventura Freeway, sometimes called the Hollywood Freeway, but...
It's always the 101, though.
Yeah, that's true. It's always the 101.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
That's the most roided up thing I ever did know about.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, we have Vernon Dozier back. I had Vernon and Margaret, you got up and walked out of here, which is very unprofessional. Don't say anything. You got up and walked out of here, which is very unprofessional, to talk to Mr. Dozier. I don't want that to happen again.
I understand, Phil.
All right.
I'm very sorry. I'm very opinionated, but I would never, ever try to... wreck your radio show, Phil. You've done an awful lot for me and the things that I report on, and I do appreciate that. I am a very outspoken woman. I will have my say, but it is not, and it will not be, at the expense of what you've worked very hard for. I understand that. Now, that's point one. Okay. Point two is the gentleman that's on the phone. Vernon?
Yes, I'm right here.
All right. Point two is the following. While we did agree to something that you have already pointed out to us is unprofessional.
Which?
You understand?
Yes. Margaret also made it clear to me that that's how you pronounce that. I don't know.
Yes, that I did, and I wanted him to say that.
You wanted him to mention that?
Yes.
So I'd like you to know that that's how you pronounce it.
Why does he have to say that?
I'll say. Because I want you to know that I am doing her bidding for...
For how long?
Until the end of the segment.
That was the price that he pays for allowing me to take the brunt of the abuse concerning the iPhone portion of the program We had agreed.
Can I?
Shut your mouth.
Yes, ma'am.
I had said to him, let's play a joke on Phil. When we hear the word iPhone, you will reference laying your head on someone's, and the word that we did agree with and that you were supposed to use is ass. A-S-S. Is that not correct?
Yes, ma'am. And can I...
Shut your sewer.
I'm sorry.
So I took the brunt of abuse, and he got away with bloody murder until I couldn't stand it any longer, and I got up from the studio, and I apologized to you, Phil, and I apologized to your audience. It was unprofessional. I got up, and I went in, and I said, this will not stand. And I got on my phone, and I called, and what are you?
She called this piece of filth.
Exactly.
All right. Can I say something?
Yes, you may.
And then may I say something?
Shut your filthy sewer!
Why is he referring... Why do you require him to refer to himself as a piece of filth and so on and so forth?
The truth?
Yes.
Please don't.
No, he did say he wanted the truth. The truth?
Yes, the truth.
He likes it. He wants that. When I said to him that I'm going to have to punish him for setting me up, he started to laugh, and I said, what are you laughing at? And he said, I'll never tell. Well, I've been around the block a few times, Phil, and I knew exactly what he was referring to. And I said, so, are you mommy's dog? And what did you do? What did you do, filth?
I said, yes. Yes, ma'am, I am.
Yeah. And I said, well, mommy's going to have to put a dog collar on you.
All right, I've heard about enough.
What did you say? Hold on, Phil. What did you say?
I said, yes, yes, ma'am. Please put my collar on me.
All right, I've heard enough, okay? I've heard enough.
Well, what are you getting all upset for?
I'm getting upset because the two of you working out your kinky, weird life does not exactly, you know, does not exactly come to mind as great radio.
We're not doing... I've never even seen this man in the flesh. What do you think we're doing?
You've got a husband.
I've got a wife, but... I wanted to say that even though we did this, I have a wife.
All right, did I give you permission to open your mouth, Phil?
No, ma'am.
Then don't open your mouth. Phil, don't you understand that this is what couples do now?
I don't want to know about it, okay? We'll be right back. The world famous... No, Margaret, I don't want to know about it. The world famous Phil Henry Show. I'm not turning your mic on.
Mr. Henry, can I make a statement? I prepared a statement, Ken.
No, sir, you can't.
I've prepared a statement that I might make.
Phil Henry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Henry.
And it is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, going places other talk shows wish they could, but they cannot. And we're very grateful that you joined us this evening, and we are very, very happy to welcome on board a great many new affiliates, including the fact that we're back in Seattle, and we're very, very happy to be back in Seattle. And a shout-out to my erstwhile producer and brother there in Seattle, Jason Rance, who I got your email today, Jason, about the fundraiser you guys are doing. So I want to put a little something in their envelope up there. And we're very, very happy to have those of you who are joining us for the first time on the radio network with us. And if you'd like to join us online at philhenryshow.com, you can do that too. And you can watch live streaming video of our show as we do the show on Phil TV and HD. In fact, we're doing it right now. And with your backstage pass, you have access to that. You have access to our video archives. You have access to our thousands and thousands of hours of archives going back to 1999, 1998, and a whole lot of other extras there at philhenryshow.com. So check it out. The story that we're going to be leading off with here, and I'm going to be talking with Jack Kepner, who is a consultant. He is a fire and fire response specialist in Birmingham, Alabama. This story out of Tennessee, did you guys hear this one? It was a family that had called for help from the local fire department because their mobile home was on fire. The firefighters came out to the scene but did not put the fire out because they hadn't, the family, and this was the Bell family, Vicki Bell, hadn't paid their fire protection fee for the year. This was in South Fulton, Tennessee. Vicki Bell told WPSD television that she called emergency dispatchers when her mobile home caught fire. The firefighters responded, but they didn't put out the blaze because she doesn't subscribe to the local fire service. Bell doesn't qualify for homeowners insurance, which is a requirement according to the city ordinance. And that also was according to CBS News that reported this initially. She says she could, quote, look out her mother's trailer and see the trucks sitting at a distance. And I got Jack Kepner on the line tonight from Birmingham. Jack, how are you doing?
Really good, Phil. And I'm glad that you called me about this because this is a... this is a very misunderstood phenomenon that's happening in the country these days because of the need for agencies to fund their services. And
well, let me just, and I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, no, that's all right.
I want to just finish the story. Rural residents who want fire protection can get service from the nearby town of South Fulton, but they must pay a $75 a year fee. South Fulton Mayor David Crocker said that if the city's firefighters responded to people who didn't pay, there would be no incentive for anyone to subscribe. He said firefighters will help when people are in charge regardless. Now, this lady, Vicki Bell, sounds rather philosophical. She wasn't really, you know, dishing up too much criticism. She said she wasn't angry with the city. She said, like I said, I'm just happy they came out and watched out for my neighbors. She believes no amount of help from the firefighters would have prevented her trailer from burning to the ground, which it did. And she added the city has offered to help in any way they can. So, you know, here is a situation where somebody lost their home, and whether or not the firefighters could have saved that house, they made the conscious decision to respond in case, I guess, the fire got out of control, but that woman lost her home.
She did lose her home, and listen to what she said, because I think it's very important to hear how she herself saw the service, the fire service. What she said was, she understood that the fire department could not act on preventing her home from burning, but she did appreciate that they were looking out for her neighbors. She also said that she did not hold the city responsible. She bore no grudge. Understand that I think this is a problem that is much ado about nothing. I think most people understand and are acquiescing to and recognize our need, those of us in the fire protection industry and business. Our need is to provide the best service we possibly can and to save as many homes as we can. And the way we do that is to make sure that the homes that we're saving and the people that we are protecting, have a level of appreciation for what we do and give us some indication, some sign, that they appreciate our service and that they are not taking us for granted.
Well, I mean, not taking you for granted, appreciating the service. What you're basically saying here is you want to make sure that they pay.
We want to make sure that they pay, but even more importantly, we want to make sure that they understand why they're paying. Now, there are some cities, and here is something that your listeners would be interested in, Phil, because I've worked with a couple of municipalities on the idea of a pre-screen when the firefighters, the responding fire agency, comes out to the home. Or the affected area, the homeowner is interviewed, and we've done this in varying degrees of success. We did this here locally in Birmingham. We had a test run in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. What basically is involved is when the fire first responders are there, and the individual that they are responding to has not paid this so-called fire protection tax. We're certainly amenable to asking them, are they going to pay? Do they have the money on them? You know, if they have cash, it's impossible for firefighters in the responding in that way to take a credit card. I would never ask. I don't think we should ask our first responders to do that. But if they have cash, and then a questionnaire, the questionnaire is very short. It's simply, do you plan on paying? Do you have a level of appreciation for the service that we provide? Do you recognize what we've had to go through to come out here? And then the third question is, do you recognize what we've had to go through to come out here to find out that you apparently don't care whether your home burned because you haven't paid your fire fee?
Well, these are questions that sound almost accusatory.
Well, we don't mean to be accusatory so much as they are supposed to be revelatory. They should reveal, on some level, whether the homeowner has a real appreciation for the danger that he's put himself and his family in, as well as his neighbors. And so the questions are designed, and I wrote some up, and my colleague Bill Keene also did, because we wanted to use, and we've had a lot of people working on this, we wanted to use a variety of different questions. But basically what we're getting at is the firefighter comes out to respond, and you have not paid your fire subscription fee. We will ask that question. We'll say, all right, you don't have any money. Do you recognize what you've put us through to come out here? And
well, you know, it sounds a little funny. It sounds a little...
I understand it sounds accusatory, but this is a way of ascertaining whether this person is an individual that you're going to fight as hard as you possibly can to save their home. Because if they say... yes, I'll pay later. Do you appreciate that we're here? Sure. And they're giving you a lot of these answers that are very sketchy and very fuzzy. You're not going to necessarily fight as hard as you would for someone else to...
What does that mean, you're not going to fight as hard as you should?
Well, I mean, it would mean something as simple as how fast are you getting the lines hooked up for water? How fast are you going to get that phone laid down? Firefighters talk among themselves if they're inside the house, and they... word is out among the firemen that this is somebody who could care less whether they pay or not. I could see myself walking instead of running.
You're making it sound like firefighters are trained to only respond to the level of appreciation that they get, not the level of danger.
No, that is not the case. But the level of danger is directly tied to the level of appreciation, because if there's no appreciation, then there really isn't any danger. You see what I'm saying? So if someone says...
If there's no appreciation, there's no danger. The house is burning, okay?
We're not going to let the house burn other houses, but we are saying to that person, have you paid your... Understand, Phil, this only happens with people that haven't paid their fire subscription fee.
I know that, but I mean, okay, so somebody hasn't paid their fire subscription fee, so you're saying... Well, now we do a questionnaire. Are you appreciative of the fact that we are here?
That is correct.
And you guys call that what, a pre-screen?
That is a pre-screen. And that gives us vital information, information that we cannot do without, and we would not be able to do our job if we didn't have it. It gives us vital information about the person whose home we're about to, the person whose home we're about to go to work on in containing the blaze. You know, the firemen can lose their lives, and you don't want your firemen going in to save the home of an individual who has not paid their fire subscription fee and really is a little, to be honest with you, a little bit snotty about...
Have you ever, and I don't know whether you guys have tried this in the field, but have you ever had a homeowner who said, I haven't paid my fire subscription fee, I will, though, and do you appreciate that we're here? You know, and they give you one of these kind of smart-ass answers? What, and what do you do?
Well, we tell them. In that instance, and we have, and we've done this with them, we'll say, your attitude is very destructive. We're talking about your home and the homes of everybody on the street. And your attitude toward us, the firefighter, is snooty. It's a little insolent. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to do our jobs because we're professionals. But it's going to be hard because of your attitude.
And you tell the homeowner that.
We have to, because we want them to know how and what we're doing and why we're doing it and how we're going to, attack the situation.
All right, we're talking here with Jack Kepner. Jack is he's an advisor and a consultant in the firefighting field from Birmingham, Alabama. We brought him on to talk about a story that was quite shocking, to be honest with you, one from South Fulton, Tennessee today, where a family, a woman and her mother, watched their mobile home burn to the ground completely. And the firefighters stood and watched because they had not paid their fire subscription fee. And so you can well imagine what the bizarre and almost surreal scene that was, to watch your home burn and watch firefighters stand there and do nothing. Jack Kepner with us. They have been looking at this problem, and there are a number of solutions, including ascertaining whether the homeowner has any appreciation whatsoever for the firefighters being there, and if they have enough, perhaps the firefighters can go ahead and roll out the hoses and fight the fire. We'll take your calls and comments. We'll get back and talk with Jack here about this. When we come back, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Talking with Jack Kepner tonight, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth.
And more on Jerry
bitch.
Sandusky next hour.
The Phil Hendry Show.
And our number is 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Jack Kepner, a consultant in the firefighting industry and or firefighting. But it's not really an industry, is it, Jack? What do you call it?
Well, Bill, more than anything else, we consult with local governments, municipalities on fire safety. So, no, you're right. It is not an industry if you are talking about the sustaining public firefighting. So we are more of a government consulting or government advisory company, and try to help these governments, municipalities that have these laws.
How many municipalities have or counties have fire subscription fees?
It's hard to know. The statistics are they're in flux from year to year, but anywhere from it could be anywhere from 10,000 all the way down to a few hundred, given the voters and their wants and their unwants and their likes and their dislikes, whether or not this is anything that works. I dare say that I think it's something that needs to be given a chance, because I think really once someone recognizes that unless they pay for their services, they're going to have their home burn right to the ground. I don't think a lot of people give firefighters the respect that they require.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL here with Jack Kepner, and we're going to take some phone calls here if you want to call in and comment. We are talking about a story in South Fulton, Tennessee, where a woman's mobile home burned as firefighters watched because she had not paid a fire subscription fee that is required by the county there. Here is Alan. Alan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to say civil service is civil service, and you cannot justify letting someone's house burn down. You can't justify it. And if you're looking for...
You may not be able to justify it, but that was the legal response that they had, because, as you could tell from the story, the mayor of the city and the county commissioners all said that they acted appropriately.
Well, they acted inappropriately, and for you to say that...
No, they had a fire. They had a fee that they had to pay, and they didn't pay the fee.
Well, I think what the caller is saying, it was immoral. Is that what you're trying to say, Alan?
It's wrong. It's plain wrong.
It's wrong. It's wrong.
Well, we're not in the business of right or wrong. We're in the business of the law. And but if you think about this, this law helps firefighters because it forces the homeowner, who ordinarily looks at us as if we're nothing more than just guys that are sitting around drinking beer half the day, you know, eating grilled cheese sandwiches and playing darts. And it forces them to see us as guys that if we're not there, then they're going to be sitting in a tent tonight.
You know, well,
they'll be in a shelter, a homeless shelter.
That's your characterization.
Well, I think it's a fair one. I think it's a fair assessment. I think if someone has a home burning, cooking right to the ground, and we come out there and we say, do you appreciate that we're here?
See, that's the part I don't get, you know.
That's ludicrous.
If you're a fire...
Right there. You're,
why is that ludicrous?
I don't understand how it is you have to obtain...
Why did this man call it ludicrous for us to want people to acknowledge what we're doing?
Well, because you're not in it for the acknowledgement. You're in there as a civil service.
I understand, but they haven't paid their fire subscription fee. Now they're asking me to fight the fire.
I don't think you do understand. It's not about the
No.
fee. It's about a fee.
It is. The law does not allow these men to fight this fire unless the fee's been paid. However, what we've come up with is a way to, for them to fight the fire. Does the homeowner at least understand what she's done? She hasn't paid, and now these guys are out there staring at this fire in the middle of some area that they'd probably rather not be in, some backwoods. And does she understand what she's asking of these men?
Well, you're looking for an excuse to be punitive.
That's no, we're just looking for an excuse to go and do the fire.
All right, listen, thanks for your call, Alan. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to John here on line one. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi, I'm a retired firefighter, paramedic.
He didn't know what he was talking about.
No, but this gentleman here is a retired firefighter, sir?
Yes, sir. Retired firefighter, paramedic.
Okay.
And I do understand the fire subscription fees. I also understand fire codes where if a certain department is responding to a certain fire, we've had it happen up here in Iowa to where they get to a certain line. They cannot go over that line legally. They're not covered by their own liability insurance unless they are mutual aided. If they are mutual aided, then they are covered. I understand that. And also, when you're talking about a trailer, 99 times out of 100, if it's a trailer fire, by the time we respond and get there, it's fully involved. There's nothing you can do except protect existing structures around the trailer. There's not a lot.
If our protocols had been in place, that lady had said, well, you know, I really appreciate you guys are here, then we would have seen what we could do.
Yeah, right. But it's burning to the ground.
Right.
It's going to burn to the ground. You're not, when it comes to a trailer fire,
right,
you can have the department next door to it. Trailers go up like a matchbox.
But wouldn't you, as a firefighter, wouldn't you at least like the homeowner to say, well, I appreciate you guys are here. I can't pay you. I didn't pay my fee.
When we're fighting a fire, we don't want any civilians in the fire ground.
No,
I don't want to talk to any civilians. The only people I want on the fire ground are my firefighters and maybe some law enforcement.
But you do want their appreciation.
We normally get it. 9 times out of 10 after we get done with a fire, we receive things at the fire station. They'll either send us a donation.
The difference is we want it beforehand. So
you want the firefighters, as they're getting off the truck and hooking up their hoses, to first get the appreciation of the homeowner.
If they haven't paid their fire subscription fee, yes, sir.
We don't have time for that. If it's life safety first, if there's a possible life involved, we don't have time for that. We have to secure the fire ground, defend life safety, and then whatever happens after that, we'll deal with it after the fire's out.
You sound like a great professional. You really do. The times are changing, though, sir. You said this gentleman's name is John?
Yes.
John, the times are changing, and we want our firefighters to get due appreciation before they even
start fighting. I disagree with that. The only way times have changed is the professional firefighters are more life safety oriented. We're out to protect life safety first, structures second.
We want to protect you guys too. We don't want you guys rushing in and saving a cat or saving grandma until we do get a homeowner acknowledging our existence, you know.
Yeah, but this guy that gentleman was talking about time. Time is of the essence. We're going to be right back here with Jack Kepner, our number 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Our number 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. We have Jack Kepner on the line with us. Jack is in the fire protection business as a consultant to a variety of cities and towns across the United States. Now, the story we did read at the beginning. Jack, are you familiar with the story?
I'm familiar with a lot of these stories, Bill, and I don't think there's a story that involves firefighting during the day that I'm not intimately familiar with by 5 o'clock that night. I look at all of these, and I do know this story out of South Fulton, and I know the area, and it's very rural, and these are people that live in trailer homes, and the trailer... and the trailer habitat is well known to all of us, whether we're in firefighting. It seems like the trailer home is well known to all of us, whether we're in firefighting or stand-up comedy, or that doesn't make any difference. And I think we all know what we're in for when we say trailer. So if I have firefighters that are going out to a trailer, just as that caller indicated, by the time I even get my boots on, I know in my heart that that trailer is gone. It's burned to the ground. There's nothing but tires and a frame left. And I'm asking myself, why am I even putting myself out? Well, I'll tell you why, Phil. Because I want to save lives. I want to save property. I want to save the adjoining property. Now I get all the way out there and I find out she hasn't paid her fire subscription fee. Do I still let whatever's left of it burn?
Well, if you get all the way out there and the thing is there's nothing left.
But there might be something left that that she wants. She may want it put out. Okay. And so, for whatever reason, maybe it's not threatening the other homes, I'll say, all right, I just put my boots on, I got my crew, I got a hook and a ladder, I've got everything going here. What do I get? You tell me. You tell me. And if she says, well, thank you, that's all we're asking for.
Before you fight the fire, though.
That is exactly right, yeah.
877-876-PHIL. It's an interesting world, I'll tell you that. Let me go to a phone call here. We're talking with... Jack Kepner, and on the line is Tori. Tori, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. How you doing? I have a quick question.
Good. Thank you.
Out of curiosity, if they're obviously you're dealing with trailer homes, so chances are it's in a trailer park, and obviously there's going to be, you know, surrounding families that are in danger from that fire. Are you going to go around and ask every neighbor whether or not they paid their fire subscription fees in order to, you know, make sure that their house doesn't catch fire?
No, what we're going to do at that point, I think the gentleman's name is Tori. Tori, what we're going to do at that point is we're going to pre-screen, which is to get everybody outside and tell them that we do have a fire. We want to make sure that they're out of their trailers, and then we will ask the family members, do you know who I am? Do you know what I am? Yes, I'm a fireman, and are you appreciative of the fact that I'm here? And then we can certainly ascertain from that.
You're going to ask everybody in the trailer park.
Yeah. If they haven't paid.
If they have paid.
If they have paid, then we got no problem. If they have paid, you know, I'll just simply say to them, you know, we'll go ahead and we'll hook the hoses up and make sure that we've got water coming to your property immediately because you've paid. And
so, in other words, you roll all the equipment toward the houses that have paid.
Well, of course, yeah. And then if we get appreciation from the other houses, and then that's where we sort of do a pecking order.
Okay. Personally speaking, I'm a 24-year-old U.S. Army veteran, and the last thing
sir?
I did was go around and ask every U.S. citizen whether or not they were appreciative of my job that I was doing. I did my job. When it was done, that was it.
Right.
I really don't see the logic behind this. I understand, you know, there are...
Well, I mean, I think that in your case...
At the same time...
Yeah. I think in your case, it's a little difficult for you to ask for appreciation before you go, but when you get back, I think it's beholden upon all of us to give respect to you and by way of a parade, something like that.
What do you mean, a parade?
Well, some kind of show of appreciation.
I never asked for any
appreciation
or a parade. You just do your job. That's
firefighter, I don't
do.
Want a parade. You know, I want cold, hard cash. You know, and a parade looks a little stupid if you're a firefighter. Here's a parade for a bunch of guys that let homes burn. That doesn't make any sense. And although we did make the effort.
You did make the effort, and but here's a parade for guys that let homes burn. I don't know. Thank you very much, Tori, for your call. 877-876. All right, sir. 877-876. Phil, now we have on the line Troy, I believe it is. Troy, is this you? Yes, sir. Go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I agree with the soldier you just talked to, you know. I've seen a lot of parades where firemen are very appreciated when they go down the road, and to ask for is kind of, to me, asinine. I mean, if you're proud of what you're doing, then you should just do your job and find the pride inside of you. That's what firefighters are for.
And it is. But we're talking about people that didn't pay. So they didn't pay, so I didn't get my salary from them. Whatever, who is ever paying my salary is somebody whose home isn't burned down. Now I'm out there and I'm...
What about when they were at the grocery store and paid taxes on it? What about when they bought a vehicle and paid taxes? What about when they look at their paycheck and there's less money in it? I mean, where do you feel you're not paying enough? Paid? I mean, you got a lot of tax money that goes to firefighters, and everybody.
That's true, but it's not enough. We do, but you have to understand, we make a certain level of salary. I mean, our skill is such that we require a certain level of salary. And I understand people are paying taxes, but it's just not getting it done. So if we charge a fee...
Do you understand that when you ask people, if I can just jump in here, you ask people to pay taxes, it's not enough, so you better charge a fee. Oh, you didn't pay your fee. Well, you got to do something, and your thing is show me appreciation.
Well, there has to be some kind of tribute, if you will, paid to the firefighter for going out there and trying to put out a trailer. Huh?
Whether it's a trailer or not, it's a different story. I mean, we all know trailers burn to the ground in seconds. But it's not the most glamorous job.
Okay.
It's a neighbor guy in a house.
Right.
And his house is going to take an hour and a half to burn to the ground. It's going to take you 15 minutes to get there. His house isn't burned to the ground by the time you get there. Forget the fact that it's a trailer. You get money from taxes. People pay a lot of taxes in this country.
But we don't. We just don't make enough.
Your organization is saying you need to appreciate us. Your organization talking to the government is what's wrong with this country.
Well, I don't know. I mean, all I'm saying is if you don't have your subscription fee.
No,
I'm not a politician. I'm in the fire consulting business. I'm just saying, if you don't have your subscription fee, I need something, because I've come out to a trailer fire. This is not the most prestigious thing as a firefighter. I'm not going to get a whole lot of brownie points. Nobody's going to put my name in the paper because I fought a trailer fire.
What do I get out of this? You don't fight fires.
What do I get out of it?
I don't, personally.
But I look at firefighters, and these are the things that I would want if I was a firefighter.
Okay, so you're basing... You're basing this on what you would want.
Well, yeah. I'm going to go out to a trailer park and do what?
No,
put out a fire.
Okay.
That's the problem.
I'm putting out a trailer fire, and I'm doing it for free, and there's a bunch of kids with chocolate all over their faces staring at me, and a dog, and what do I get out of this? And she doesn't have her subscription fee.
Well, you put the fire out, and you go, job well done. All right, sir, thank you for your call. I appreciate it very much. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I got a phone call here. I think this is Andrew on line one. Go ahead, Andrew. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I am also a military veteran. I'm only 23 years old, and I served 2 years in Afghanistan and Iraq.
Yes, sir.
And the former soldier had already gotten to the point to where he didn't get any gratitude before he left. So now I'm to the point to where I'm going to say, you know, where is my service fee?
Well, I think that what these gentlemen are saying, Phil, the service people is very good. What you need is to get your up front. I suggest that before you enlist, that there is some kind of a statement made by the people in your neighborhood. We thank you very much. We know you enlisted. Just so they are forced to acknowledge that. Unless, of course, they've already paid their taxes.
What does that matter, though? You volunteer to do it. When you're a firefighter...
Because some people don't pay their taxes.
No one, it doesn't matter, though. No one held a gun to your head and say, hey, become a firefighter.
But you know as well as I do, if you don't do what you do and I don't do what I do, then homes burn to the ground and we've got terrorists that are at Blockbuster Video renting your favorite movie. I mean, and I don't mean to be funny, but I mean, that's literally what's happening. So
so our country isn't protected and there aren't homes. But you're talking about before I save the guy's house, I need a little bit of appreciation.
If they haven't paid their fee. That's what I'm trying to say.
So the military shouldn't go shouldn't go overseas to fight for you and your family and your kids, if you have any, unless you pay us a service fee or tell us thank you.
No, we already pay you taxes, and you get paid enough. We don't.
We actually,
oh boy.
I actually get paid less than you being overseas.
But that's enough.
Oh, okay. Nice. This guy gets less than you, and he's fighting and can die, and you are fighting fires.
Well, you don't think we can die? You want to see how many firefighters have died?
Of course they have. But the point is, you make more money, this guy makes less, and you think everything's very equitable.
I think right now it's about the best we can expect out of the system.
Okay, yeah, listen, Andrew, thank you. Yeah, go ahead, sir.
And I appreciate that, Phil, because actually when I was overseas, I was injured, and I spent 6 months in Germany.
Yeah.
I didn't get any extra pay. I didn't get any extra thank you. I got nothing. After my 6 months, I went back to the desert and continued to fight for people I didn't even know, people I've never even talked to. And you're trying to say that you're not going
to
put out a fire because they didn't tell you thank you before you put out the fire. Why would someone
tell
you thank you before you did your job?
Because he didn't pay a subscription fee. And I would say to you, sir, Andrew, I would say you going back to Afghanistan after nobody even had the common decency to call you up and say thanks, I don't know. If I were you, I think you did a dumb thing.
Oh, come on, will you? This is the man's profession. This is what he did. He was a professional soldier. He went to Afghanistan. Thank God we have a volunteer force because we know the guys that are going over there are committed 150%.
And I'm not?
No, you're not. Not if you don't get your subscription fee. Then it's like, well, I need some love. And if you don't get any love...
If we don't... Phil, have you ever fought a fire in a trailer park? This guy's talking about going to Afghanistan. That's bad. That's bad. But a fire in a trailer park. Andrew? A fire in a trailer park.
Oh, come on. Will you fire in a trailer park? Andrew, thanks for your call and thanks for your service to the country. And we're glad you're home and safe. And we appreciate it, man. Have a good evening. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. We're talking here with Jack Kepner, a fire consultant on this. This home burned in Tennessee. It was a trailer because the woman had not paid her $75 subscription fee. The firefighters did not fight the fire. They were there in case other structures were set ablaze or were in danger. The South Fulton mayor, David Crocker, said that the firefighters respond to people who they do respond to people who didn't pay because they said if they responded to people who didn't pay, there'd be no incentive. Now, I need to also tell you about one other story on the heels of this. There are politicians, I believe, in this town or in the state of Tennessee who now want to prosecute firefighters that do not fight fires. So that will run directly in conflict, if you will, to the municipal law, the county law that's been passed. We'll give you the update on that story when we come back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL, and we'll be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Okay. With me is Jack Kepner as we talk about the fighting of fires and the phenomenon in our country of these fire subscription fees, fire prevention subscription fees that people are paying in different towns, one of which is South Fulton, Tennessee, where a woman's trailer burned and burned completely. The firefighters did respond but allowed it to burn. They didn't let it... They let it burn because she hadn't paid the subscription fee. Now, the lady herself... as you indicated, Jack, and we're going to take some more phone calls here. As you indicated, though, she seemed to understand.
Well, I feel that's exactly right, and I think that the people have to be aware of the fact that if you're a thinking citizen and you realize you haven't paid your fire subscription fee and you live in a trailer, the notion that there's going to be anything other than what happened to this lady is a little silly. So I think she was very realistic. She said, "You know, I'm glad they saved my neighbor's homes. The trailer was completely engulfed." And so I think she had an unrealistic expectation. Now, if she had paid her fire subscription fee, her home still would have burned. But we would have gladly gone out there and seen what we could do At least we would tamp the area down. We'd make sure there wasn't anything hot, no hot embers. Make sure that there was a real good, solid job put on saving whatever we could save. A lot of these mobile homes are on trailers. They're reusable trailers. There are ones that...
Well, you're telling me, I mean, she paid her subscription fee, so what she gets is a trailer.
No, she got...
I mean, the little trailer under the home.
Well, I mean, she paid the subscription fee, so she gets... She deserves service, but she didn't pay the subscription fee. So before I'm even going to go near her mobile home, because understand, fighting a fire in a trailer park, I'm not saying it's like being a soldier in Afghanistan, but I can't think of anything much worse. I don't know what I'd rather do. Go to Afghanistan to fight the Taliban or fight a fire in a trailer park. They are both hazardous. They are both very foreign experiences. You don't know. You lose all contact with reality in many ways. You don't know where you are. You don't know the people. And you do feel very cut off.
When you're fighting a fire in a trailer park.
That is correct, yes, sir.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to some phone calls now. We have David. David, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Jack Kepner. Go ahead, please.
Hey, how you doing, Phil?
Good, thank you.
Is this comedy hour with this guy?
Yeah, no kidding.
You
got to understand, Jack, many of the things you're saying.
Many of the things I'm saying, let me tell you something. Firefighters die every year in this country. And if you think I think that's funny, both of you guys, you can both go straight to hell.
All right, wow. let's not get heavy here, okay?
Well, I mean, if you guys think it's funny that firefighters die.
No, nobody's saying where it's funny to firefighters.
Well, you were laughing.
I don't know what you're,
you were laughing.
What you're
you were
saying.
Laughing.
Well,
you were laughing.
What's coming out of your mouth is unbelievable. It sounds
I'm
like
talking
about being a stand-up comic.
You need to turn your radio down there, but David, you need to turn your radio down for me.
Well, I'm not a stand-up. I don't understand. I was saying that in the world of stand-up comedy, trailer parks are often talked about. That's what I was saying. And when firefighters are asked to go fight fires in trailer parks, you don't think they laugh? Of course they laugh.
Well, no, it's dangerous, no doubt about it. But
they
are you going to stand there and let somebody's home burn down because they didn't pay their fee?
No, I'm not. I'm telling you, no, I'm not. I'm telling you, there is an alternative. You have to answer a questionnaire in which you express some level of appreciation for me as a firefighter.
Even as you said earlier, I mean, when you get a call about a trailer on fire, it's usually burned down before you get out there.
Oh, it's burned down before I put my shoes on.
What's the point? What's the point?
The point is this, Bill. When I go out there, look, it was still burning when the guys got out there. Now, there was nothing left. There might have been a person in there trapped. Chances are there would be nothing left of them, but I can at least give it a shot.
Do these firefighters not receive any funds, state funds or local funds, other than this fee? That
I'm assuming that they have some kind of a problem, as many municipalities do because of this recession that we're in. I'm assuming that this is the sole source. Now, I'm sorry, but I'm a firefighter, and I require a certain salary. And otherwise, what do you want me to do? You know,
well, when you require a certain salary, you're going to have to just knock that salary down a little bit, okay?
Yeah. Talk to my union about that. Talk to my union about that, you know.
Hey,
that's
Phil,
really nice of you. That's really nice of you.
Well,
Phil,
I have a union, and here's a guy that calls up and says, you know, do you live in a trailer? Do you live in a trailer?
No, sir, I do not.
There he goes laughing again. Hey, I tell you what, I'll take you out someday, David, and we'll go to a fire, and maybe if we're lucky, we'll see a fireman get burned alive. What up?
Oh, come on.
Now you're being ridiculous.
Well, that's what you're doing. No, that's what you're doing.
Come on. Nobody's saying that. We're trying to make sense out of what you're saying.
Guy's coming out here laughing. Ha, 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 ha.
There is no sense to what he's saying.
Ha, 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 ha. Fireman's dead. Ha, ha. Fireman's dead.
No, he didn't say that at all. Thank you very much, David, for your call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL.
This guy calls up, and and I said, I go out and fight a fire at a trailer park, and buddy, I might as well be, you know what, I might as well have my head cut off in Iraq.
Yeah, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.